Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I like the energy. 2 weeks in a row, we've had some good energy. I'm glad to see everybody this morning. We are going to continue our study of Ephesians. We are in the final chapter, chapter 6. I anticipate that this lesson, and then there'll be two more to finish out, at least two more, to finish out Ephesians. You heard the reading from Eddie Ray, just four verses this morning, chapter 6, 1 through 4. And this comes in the context of back in chapter 5, and I've got this on, I think I have this on the handout, where earlier in chapter 5, Paul had gone through three, using the metaphor of walking, three different ways that he encouraged these Christians, and I believe all Christians, to walk. And the final one of those was to walk in wisdom. And part of walking in wisdom is being filled with the Spirit. And he says, if you're filled with the Spirit, there's three things you're going to be doing. And one of those things, if you're filled with the Spirit, is you're going to be submitting to one another. And I've got this again at the top, out of reverence for Christ. By the way, when I say at the top, I mean in the bulletin. If you've got a bulletin, on the back side is the handout. He says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And from that point, he goes through three different relationships as examples of this idea of mutual submission. Now, last week we looked at the relationship between husbands and wives. And this morning we're going to look at the relationship between parents and children. Just four verses. Now, before we jump into the text, I have a couple things I want to say. Number one, if I go back and look at I keep a log of every sermon I've ever preached and where and when. And if I go back and look at my log, prior to beginning this series on Ephesians, I had preached one sermon at Pleasant View from Ephesians, and it was from these verses. So if you happen to have an incredibly robust memory, you may hear some of the same things again. My memory's not that good, so I would not remember anything that I had heard from however long ago that was. But there might be some overlap there because it's the same text. But the second thing I want to say is this. I understand that not everybody here is a parent or a child who still lives with their parents. But we've got some grandparents here that this applies to. But in a bigger scale, I think this idea of parents and children and a Christian home and children being raised up in the Lord is one of the biggest challenges that the church is facing today. We are losing our young people. And I worry about our children. And I mean that in a generic sense, meaning the church as a whole, but I mean that here as well. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of groups out there that do statistics on churches. I could list them off, but there's no point in that. But there's a lot of groups out there that do, you know, research and statistics. But they all say the same thing. The majority of children who grow up in the church leave the church. It's that simple. And so I think that the idea of children and Christian homes and children growing up, you know, to be Christians is one of the biggest challenges we face today. And I'm going to have a lot more to say about that in the coming weeks, because I'm going to make it a priority to address some of those things this year in 2024. We'll talk more about that again in the coming weeks. But this morning, I hope that everybody will kind of lock into these very simple words that Paul shares with the relationship between parents and children. Okay? Parents and children. The last thing I want to say before I jump in is that maybe their perception is that when a preacher stands up in front of you, it's, well, he's got everything figured out and he's going to share with us how to you know, how we're supposed to do it, right? I am blessed to be a parent. I tell everybody when they're expecting a child, like Jared and Chelsea, when they were expecting Kendi, like it is, in regards to earthly things, there's nothing like being a parent. And it is, you know, having two daughters, 19 and 14 now, has been one of the greatest blessings of my life, continues to be. But I am not a perfect parent. I have made a ton of mistakes. So just know that as I go through this lesson talking about what Paul says that especially parents should do, I do that with the understanding that I've messed up a lot. And so some of the things that I'm throwing out there based on what Paul has said is to me of like, these are things I need to continue to remember about being a parent in a Christian home. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So, this is the middle of those three relationships. And I made a note in my notes, just husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves. We'll talk about masters and slaves, Lord willing, next week. But in each one of these, in the society in which, the time, the culture in which Paul wrote this, there is one of those two parties in all three of those relationships that had essentially no rights in Greco-Roman society. We talked about that last week, that in Greco-Roman society, the wives had no rights. And it was revolutionary for Paul to say that a husband had a role of equal weight as the wife. I mean, that was revolutionary. And the weight of that is that the husband was to love the wife as Christ loved the church. I mean, that's heavy. But in all three of these, he begins with the party who had no rights. In Greco-Roman society, children had no rights. Children had no rights. Okay, so, and we'll eventually get to slaves, and clearly slaves had no rights. But he begins with children. And so he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now I want to note this, just like I talked about last week, that husbands and wives in this mutual submission, the context was a Christian home. Not all women everywhere are inferior to men, which some would make that passage to say. No, this is in a Christian home. A wife willingly submits to the husband because there has to be a head in any successful organization. But there's also the responsibility of the husband to love the wife to the level that Christ loved the church, which is we'll never reach that, but that's what we should aspire to. But here he begins with children, and it's in the Lord. This is the Christian home, okay? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then is his little inline commentary. This is the first commandment with a promise. We can recognize this as one of the Ten Commandments. We'll talk about that in a minute. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And then in verse 4, just one verse, he gets to fathers. We'll talk about why he singled out fathers, but I clearly think that this can be used to apply to parents. But there's a reason why he chose fathers. So fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. By the way, you may have noticed the songs that Steve led, starting with angry words, pulling from that, and then, you know, God give us Christian homes and house of the young secure their hearts. I appreciate the effort that Steve and our other song leaders like Jeff put into selecting songs. When Steve asked me if I had any ideas, I was like, parents and children, where would you go from that? And he came up with three brilliant songs. I appreciate that very much. But that's the text. Now, this is very similar to what Paul says in Colossians 3. And I mentioned how Colossians is like the sister letter to Ephesians. But in Colossians 3, 20 and 21, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And that's what we have. Now, I'm going to start with parents. And at the bottom of the handout page, you'll notice that on the left-hand side and in the middle column, there's a bunch of blanks. All of those have to do with parents, their responsibility in this idea of mutual submission. And then the children, You only get two blanks, okay? Parents get the majority of the blanks here. Parents, you get the majority of the blanks. Children, you only get two, okay? So I'm mostly going to be talking to parents, grandparents, this morning, okay? So let's go down to verse 4. Verse 4, again, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, okay? But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. I want to focus on the second half of that phrase first. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So we're going to start off talking to parents. Discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's two things I want to pull from that that command or that instruction to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord that I believe parents, the role that parents play in the Christian home. Okay? And that is this. The first one of these is to guide them toward responsibility. Discipline and instruction. I believe as parents or grandparents, or those, if you're not parents or grandparents, as role models, to guide them toward responsibility, okay? To guide them toward responsibility. And I believe that this has implications for both their physical and their spiritual life, okay? As parents, as grandparents, as role models, we have an opportunity to foster within our children this idea of responsibility, again, both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. And I made in my notes, and I may have put this in the bulletin, I can't remember, train them how to be friendly, respectful, courteous, professional, good stewards, hard workers, empathetic, encouraging. In other words, one of our roles is to teach them how to be adults. Discipline and instruction of the Lord, parents, grandparents, role models, we have to teach our children how to be adults. Why do I know that? Because if you look at the stuff that children do, and you expect them to do, and it's okay that they do, there comes a point where they have to grow out of some of those things, right? Okay? They have to grow out of some of those things. And I'm sure I've told some of these stories before, but one of the things when Sarah was little that she just did nonstop was she jumped on the furniture. So much so that our couch was worn out, and I wanted a new couch. But I wasn't going to buy a new couch until we had figured out how to get her to stop jumping on the couch. Now, could you imagine if David and Wanda invited me as a 49-year-old over to their house, and I came in and they said, have a seat. Instead, I just get in there and I just, woo, you know. Okay, we got to teach them how to be adults, right? You got to teach them how to be adults. Eventually, you know, now that's meant to be funny, right? But the whole concept is, one of the big roles as being a parent is train them to be adults, okay? Okay? It makes sense when they're children that they act like children, and that's okay. But we have to bring them along to teach them how to be adults, right? I remember, Kate not here this morning. She's back in Arkansas. But you guys know Kate. I mean, Kate is the most passive, you know, gentle kid you can possibly imagine. But there was one of the things that I tried to do as a parent sometimes is if my two girls were fussing at each other, I would try to sometimes just let them figure it out. Instead of me just immediately intervening, I'm going to let them figure this out. Okay, sometimes that worked and sometimes it didn't. Sarah, you may not even know this. There was one time we were upstairs and all day long, I don't remember how old Sarah was, but she had just been giving it to Kate. I mean, just giving it to her. And Kate never said a word. She just took it and took it and took it. And I'm sitting there thinking, one, should I intervene? Because Kate is just getting run over by this, like, three-year-old, you know. And I don't remember how old Sarah was, probably more than three. But I'm thinking, but I cannot believe Kate is just taking this. And she took it and she took it and she took it. And eventually, I looked over. And Sarah was just giving it to her, and Kate just slugged her. Just boom! And I said, Kate, come here! And I took her up to her room, and I said, you're not in trouble. That's what I said, first words out of my mouth. You're not in trouble, but I had to make it look like you were. I said, Sarah absolutely deserved that. But that's not the way we resolve, you know, again, because, you know, if I were over at, you know, Jeff and Carol Lee's house and Jeff and I were having a disagreement, it would not be okay for me to just go, boom, you know, or other way around, right? It would not be okay. So I had to kind of use that as a moment to say, Kate, this is not how we resolve our differences, right? She totally deserved it, but there's another way to get to the end of this. You know, I don't remember which one of our kids it was, that we were at a restaurant where they had a candle in the middle of the table. And I look up, and they were holding the menu in the candle. It's like, don't set the menu on fire. It's like, you know, on my bingo card of being a parent, I never expected to have, you know, don't set your menu on fire is one of the things I would have to say. But I would not expect that if I were out to dinner with the Reeds that I would have to go, Mike, don't set your menu on fire. Okay, all of these are crazy stories just to say we have a responsibility to teach them to be adults, right? And again, that has physical and spiritual implications, okay? You know, part of being having this discipline instruction of the Lord is that we have a responsibility to teach them to be responsible, okay? That implies that we're responsible, right? And we have to teach them to be responsible, okay? And part of that also, we think about the spiritual part of this, is teaching them to avoid the pitfalls of the world. Because there are many pitfalls in the world. And one of the things, because we are older, we've experienced a lot of those, right? Either directly, or we've seen what happened to somebody else. And I made a list, you know, teaching them to avoid things like drugs and alcohol, greed, materialism, pornography. You know, teaching them how to avoid those things when they're young. Right? When they're young. Because we're raising them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You know, those of you that went through my long study that I did on Ecclesiastes, I said I view the book of Ecclesiastes as like this big, long letter where the writer is going over and over again. I tried to find happiness here, and I did all these things to find it, and guess what? I never found it. So don't do what I did. And there's a lot of parenting that is like that. Discipline and instruction of the Lord is, I'm teaching them what to avoid because we've experienced it. And so that's part of this idea of responsibility, okay? You know, we have to be their example, their guide, and help them along. Now, from here, I want to jump back to the first part of verse 4. And I want to think about, The second thing about this point, I jumped ahead too far. Besides responsibility, or in addition to responsibility, is teaching them relationship. Okay? Relationship. And this is specifically thinking about having a relationship with the Lord. Okay? Again, the assumption here is that we are modeling this. Okay? So parents, if we're not modeling this, that's step number one, okay? Because children are gonna mimic what we do, right? Even in situations where we don't want them to mimic what we do, they're gonna mimic what we do. And so first step is making sure that we have this relationship with God, but we're teaching them, and I made a list, to be children of God, to be trained in His Word, to take ownership of their faith. I've talked a lot about how, you know, when I came into adulthood, I didn't know this was happening, but I didn't realize until I was probably in my early 30s that I was living on a borrowed faith that I never took ownership of. Well, we have an opportunity as parents to help them take ownership of their own faith, teaching them how to be lights of the world, teaching them to be moving forward to live with God in glory. You know, we're teaching our children about building a relationship with the Lord. That is part of our responsibility in the Christian home. Okay? So, two things. To guide them toward responsibility, teaching them how to be adults, and guiding them toward relationship, having a relationship with the Lord. Okay, now, this is what I was jumping forward to. How do we do it? How do we do that? Well, here comes the first part of that verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Here's the reason why I believe Paul singled out fathers. Is because in Greco-Roman society, the father had absolute authority of the home. With the rights, under, again, societal rights, to behave as dictators. Children had no rights, none. And so fathers had absolute authority within the Greco-Roman home to behave as they want, like dictators. And so I believe Paul is singling out fathers to go, in a Christian home, you can't behave like a dictator. That's not your role. Don't do something that's going to build up resentment in your children to where, when they can, they're going to run away from you. Okay? Now, that does not mean that you can't have discipline, that you can't set boundaries. You know, we had a young lady who we've known since she was little, who now just had her first child. And she came up and asked Olivia and I, you know, she's like, tell us what you did with your girls. You know, which is like, where do we start? One of the things we told her was you have to set boundaries. I'm very much a believer in having to set boundaries as a parent. But Paul says setting boundaries does not mean you're a dictator and you're lording it over them to where they resent you. Okay? So how do you balance those two things? How do you set boundaries? How do you be a parent that has discipline, that enforces discipline, but at the same time, you're not doing it in such a way that your children resent you, that your children become angry, become resentful. Okay, how do you do that? How do you balance those two things? A few things. Here's those blanks. The first thing I believe that a parent must offer in their relationship with their child is rapport. Okay? Rapport. If you don't know what the word rapport means, it means that you build this relationship where you're kind of walking in step with each other. You're friends with each other. Okay? I'm a big believer that a parent should be the best friend that their children will ever know. Okay? Now, that does not mean you let them do whatever they want to do. Again, back to setting boundaries, back to enforcing discipline. But at the end of the day, the best friend a child should have should be their parents. They may not recognize it. They probably won't recognize it. But a parent should be the best friend that a child will ever know. And I made a note in my notes. Nurture their interest and trust. Learn about their needs, personality, desires. But I highlighted this, and I don't know if this is in the bullet or not, but to do this, we have to spend quality time with them. We have to spend quality time with our children if we're going to have this type of relationship. Not a dictator, you know, causing resentment, causing anger. We're going to be there with them, invested in their lives, nurturing that relationship. We have to spend time with them. We have to build a rapport with our children. The second thing, respect. Respect. But wait a minute. Isn't it children that are supposed to respect their parents? Yes. But I think it goes both directions. And I want to tell you what I mean by that. Okay? Again, this is, so where is this coming from? Well, this is in Paul saying, don't provoke your children to anger. Now think about things that can cause your children to be angry. And one of those things is the problems, in quote, that your children face may seem insignificant to you. Why? Well, because as you get older, your definition of what a problem is changes. Right? Because as you get older and you experience more things and you take on the responsibility of supporting a family and having a job and dealing with sickness and dealing with family members and all, you go, oh, what you're dealing with, that's nothing, you know, and you put it down. But on some level, you have to understand that it's a big deal to them, what they're dealing with. And not just immediately go, well, that's ridiculous, you know, that's stupid. You have to respect that what they're facing is a big deal to them. It's a big deal to them. There's a show, I won't mention the show, that Olivia got us watching at night. And one of the things that anytime their kids do anything or they face any kind of problem, the dad refers to them as morons. You're morons. That's why I'm saying this is the opposite of that. What they're facing is a big deal to them. Okay, and understand that it's a big deal to them. And Sarah's in the ninth grade now. Back in the seventh grade, there was an opportunity. She loves theater, musical theater. And Lipscomb was offering this thing where the musical they were going to be doing for the high school, 9th through 12th, they were going to invite the middle school kids to audition, to have some smaller parts in this high school musical. And Sarah had this hope, she's covering her face, she had this hope that maybe some of the middle schoolers would be able to audition for some of the named parts in the musical. And so the day of when they went to this information session, I was going to be the one to pick her up from school. And she got in the car, and I said, "How did it go?" And I got the quote in my notes. She says, "All my dreams have been crushed." That was what came out of her mouth. Now, what it was is that, well, the middle schoolers are only going to be able to try out for ensemble. They're not going to be able to try out for named parts. But she said, "All my dreams have been crushed." Now, we've had a lot of fun with that over the last couple of years, but I never tried to make it seem like, "Honey, that's not a big deal, you know, to you. It's not a big deal to you." Okay? Because it was a big deal to her, right? That's what I mean. You have to understand their context of their view of the world and try to show them respect. Okay, rather than constantly putting them down for what they think is a big deal. It's a big deal if they don't make the starting rotation in the basketball team. It's a big deal if they get picked on by their friends. It's a big deal, right? If they get made fun of for the shoes that they're wearing or whatever. That's the stuff that I dealt with, right? It's a big deal to them. Later on, you're going to go, "I wish I could deal with those problems again," right? But to them, it's a big deal, so we have to understand as parents to show them respect for their view of the world as we help them grow into becoming an adult. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's respect. Third thing, reassurance. My note there is that parents should be the greatest source of encouragement for their children. Again, the opposite of provoking children to anger, dominating over them, is be the greatest source of encouragement that a child can have from their parents. Be the greatest source of encouragement. The greatest source of encouragement. I think that goes hand in hand with respect. And the final one for parents, and then I'll move on to children, is the word refuge. And I wrote down, our relationship with our children should be a safe haven for them. A place where they feel loved, secure, protected. A place where they can share their fears. A place where they can go for encouragement. You can't have that if you don't have the rapport. You can't have that if you don't show respect for their view. You can't have that if you don't give them reassurance. You don't encourage them. You can't be a refuge for them. If you start off with, "I'm a dictator. I'm the one in charge. My way or the highway." Which maybe it is my way or the highway when you set boundaries, but how do you do that in such a way that you have this relationship with your children so that you can be a refuge, a place where they can go, a safe place where they can go, where things are not going to be thrown back in their face? How do you do that? How do you be the refuge for them? Okay. All right, let's move. Let's move on the last few minutes that we have talking about children. Children. So let's go back to verse 1. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." He's moving on to verse 2. "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." This is in Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I've got two things for children from those three verses. The first one of those things is respond. When Paul says, "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Again, the context here is a Christian home. A Christian home. How do we know that? In the Lord. He says, in the Lord. OK? okay? All right? That's the context. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You do what your parents tell you. Why? Why should I do what my parents tell me beyond just that Paul said I should, or that, you know, God told Moses that parent, that children should obey their parents or honor their father and mother? Why? With the understanding that parents are trying to lead their children toward, and I've got this, responsibility and relationship. Again, they're trying to teach me how to be a good adult. Right? So Kyle, when you're going, I have no idea why they're telling me this, why they're asking me to do this, you can go, I don't get it, but I know they're trying to help me grow. I know they're trying to help me grow. Right? That's why I should respond to them. That's why I should obey them. Because they're trying to help me grow. And they're trying to help me have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And so because of that, Paul says obey. Obey your parents. Respond to them. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The second thing is regard. Regard. Here you go, Charlie. This comes from the verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honor father and mother. Recognize that your parents are in charge. No matter how much as children we want to be in charge, recognize that your parents are in charge. And also, they have done and will do a lot for you. And so they are deserving of your honor and your respect. And this is why this is a commandment of God. Now, when the commandment was originally given, that you may live long in the land, I mean, there's different implications than in the time when Paul was giving this. But the best way to live your life, to live your life and preserve your life, is to follow the instruction of your parents. He's not talking about how long you're going to live in Canaan now, but Paul pulling this forward to go, the best way you can preserve your life, the best way you can remain safe in a dangerous world, is to live within the boundaries that your parents have given you by showing them honor and respect. Now, children, okay, children, I want you to listen to me. If you heard nothing else this morning, okay, I want you to hear this. I have homework for you. You're like, no, I don't want to hear homework. Okay, I have homework for you. Go, how do I show honor to my father and mother? How do I do that? I want you to read the letter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, written by Paul to Timothy. Not father and son, but he begins that letter referring to Timothy as his true child in the faith. So it's like a father writing to a son. And Paul's at the end of his life. I mean, most likely, his life was over within days or weeks or at most months after he finished that letter. So this is the last thing he's writing to his child in the faith. And he's like, the whole letter, whereas the first letter, 1 Timothy, is like an instruction manual for the church. The second letter is like about Timothy. This is how you should live your life. And I think it is a blueprint for how a child can honor a parent. And so, children, your homework, okay? If you don't recognize whether you're a children or not, you can ask me and I'll tell you, okay? But children, your homework, go read 2 Timothy. It's 4 chapters, okay? I'm not giving you the instruction to go read Psalms, okay? It's 4 chapters. Okay, so go read 2 Timothy. In answering the question, how do I show honor and respect to my parents, to my grandparents, to the people in the church who are trying to be role models for me? How do I do that? Go read 2 Timothy. Go read 2 Timothy so that you can understand what parents, what Christian parents are looking for with their children. So you can understand what they're looking for with their children. That's what Paul has to say. Fathers, discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, I'm going to get disciplined. No, don't do it with anger. Don't cause anger within your children. It has to take a different perspective than society's perspective. Yes, set boundaries. Yes, enforce discipline, but be a friend to your children. Respect their view of the world. Provide them a place of refuge for their insecurities. Children have insecurities. Children have fears. Be a refuge for those things. A safe place for those things. Be the best friend that your children will ever know. Children, obey. Why? I may not understand it, but if I can take a step back and I can go, yeah, they're trying to teach me how to be good people. They're trying to teach me to have a relationship with the Lord. And maybe they can see some things that I can't see. Ooh, that's hard to do. You know how I know it's hard to do? Because we have the same relationship with God, right? We have the same relationship with God where you go, God, I don't understand it. I don't know what you're doing. But I have to trust that it's for my eternal good. Children, you're being asked to have the same perspective for your parents. Obey. And then honor. Because they deserve it. Because they deserve your respect. Because they've done a lot for you and will continue to do a lot for you. That is Paul's blueprint for the Christian home. Drawing heavily on the commandments of God that have already been given for centuries. That's the blueprint. And as I said, I'm worried about our children. I'm worried about the future of our children. And I think these things are critical for the future of the church. Why? Why does that matter? Because I believe that if children leave the church, it's not just a matter of leaving an earthly organization or leaving a building. They're leaving the only source of salvation. That's what I believe. So why is it so critical? It's because it's not just we're losing them from this, you know, social club. No. We're losing them to a place in God's kingdom. It's so important. There is no other way. So this is invitation time. And as always, if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, there is no better organization on earth or in heaven, and no other way we can receive salvation. So if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, that door is always open. Not just an invitation time, it's always open. But if there's anything else you need, as always, this door is always open too, by the way. If there's anything else you need, prayers, encouragement, you're welcome to come while Steve leads us in our invitation center.